Welcome to the Klamath Tribes podcast. Ken Smith here alongside Chairman William Ray Jr. Rounding out 2024. Chairman, how did the year shape up for you when you took over? What was it, May?
May 22nd. And I want to just say Waklisi to everyone. And it's been an honor to be the tribe's representative. And it's been one busy year for me since I took office. And starting with many issues from agency barns to our TWAM and COP2 to mule deer to figuring out how to best protect our resources from our first foods, our culture, along with helping our tribal members with health, education, housing, trying to do everything possible to make sure our services are responsive to the needs of the tribal members.
What would you say were the highlights of 2024 in your tenure was since May?
Well, I think the biggest highlight that I can say is working on all the ancestral remains, trying to get our people taken care of, our culture that has been harmed by all the resource habitats that we've lost. And I think the other biggest thing I can is about the education roundtable that we had before school with all the state and Klamath County and city school districts. I thought that was a big highlight. And then we just recently was able to do the blessing ceremony on the breach over their agency barns, watershed, wetlands restoration of 13,000 acres that's been now beginning to heal. And will provide habitats that we lost long, long time ago when they were reclaimed during all the reclamation work.
Yeah, that's a biggie for the restoration in this area. Could set the tone for other work.
Indeed. The agency barns represents a phase one, and then there'll be two other phases. But in the meantime, we're also working on our own restoration plan for many places in the upper watershed and along the lake and our rivers, and working with partners, landowners, to really put it in overdrive to restore back to wetlands and providing invaluable quality habitats for our fisheries and our aquatic species, and improve those habitats so they have an opportunity to survive.
When you took over as chairman, you had ideas of the job. Anything surprise you? What'd you learn along the way?
What I learned along the way is that it's different being in our general counsel as a member versus being in the job as elected official. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot about our nation. I learned a lot about the complexities that we have, not only to sustain ourselves culturally and our resource base, but also how we are trying to move our nation forward to protecting what we have left.
How do you feel going into 2025?
I feel optimistic. I believe that we have some room that we can definitely make improvements in our, especially with our tribal member services. And because our employees do a really good job, it's just a matter of being as responsive as we can possibly be responsive to based on their timeline. And sometimes since we live in such a fluid world that instant information is critical, we need to try to be as responsive as possible with that need for the tribal members.
And what are your goals for the next year?
A couple of them. One of them is constantly pressing the issue on our ancestral remains being taken care of in a good, respectful way.
Are we referring to the Fort Klamath burial?
We're referring to all of them. not only the Fort Klamath, the Modocs, they that lay in rest there, but all of them, since we have people all over the place right now that we need to take care of. The restoration of our wetlands and watersheds to help our fisheries and our aquatic species, our first foods. And then the other big thing is that I see on the horizon is, of course, the all the issues that we have as a tribe to protect our language and culture.
We have an election coming up, too, in February.
That's right.
How many seats are open?
10.
Wow.
Yeah, all 10, yes.
Are they open or are they running? Do you have incumbents running?
Well, everyone will be nominated on February 15th.
That's how it works? This is my first time through. This.
You bet.
Every 2 years, right?
Three years.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have staggered terms.
How do you feel about the election? Will there be new blood? Is there a turnout problem? Do we have a strong voting
I think we
nation?
I think we have a strong voting, and I'm sure there'll be many people, as there always are, being nominated in our process.
How does it work?
People get up in the general council and nominate people for each position, and then we go down through chairman, vice chair, secretary, treasurer, and then the members at large.
And what about yourself? Is there a seat open too?
Yes, the chairman's seat is open.
Oh, do we have any competition?
I believe there will be.
Wow, this is getting interesting.
It will be, yeah.
I'm going to be curious to see this for the first time.
Yeah, it's definitely a process that we've used for many, many years.
Like how many?
Oh, let's see. I think we've had the ballot for at least since early 2000s, I believe. Yeah.
Is it an organized, well thought out process?
It is. We have an election board, and they take care of all the process, and then you have a mail-in ballot, and then the new council will be seated in May.
In May. And the vote is what day?
Well, there's a end. I don't know exactly the end date that you have to get your ballot in.
You have a window?
Yes, you have a window, 30-day window, I believe.
Okay. How's the turnout been?
I think it's been pretty good, you know.
Like percentage-wise, 30, 40, 20?
Yeah, I'd say we're on 20 to 30%, if not
just like
more.
The national turnout is.
Yes, yeah.
We'd like to see more, though, right?
We would.
We have, what, almost 4,000 members or more, 5,000?
5,800.
5,800, we'd like to see 50%.
Exactly.
Maybe 100%, you know,
yeah,
but
you bet.
That's too much wishing.
You bet.
But, you know, it's how do you reach the people, like, out of the area to get them involved in Portland, for example?
Well, normally it has to be some meetings, you know, where people like myself and others go up and meet with them. Have a scheduled meeting where I have an open townhouse, if you will, open tribal member forum.
Hmm. I don't want to get political, but, you know, we have a new president coming in, and he's got his nominees, and North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum is for the Department of Interior Secretary, which will replace Deb Haaland, who's a Native American for the first time in that position. How did she benefit the tribes, or did she? And what do you think of the incoming Interior Secretary, who's known to, I mean, North Dakota has a large Native American population, and it's said that he worked with them well. He's also an oil man, you know, likes to see oil get. How do you think Miss Haaland did, and how, do you have any feelings about this possible new Interior Secretary and how it would affect the tribes?
Well, I think Secretary Haaland did a good job, just from the simple fact that she knows Indian country, being a tribal member from one of the tribes there in the southwest of New Mexico. So that's always a positive benefit, someone knowing Indian country. And then from everything I've read about the incoming Secretary of Interior, if he's confirmed, that he understands Indian country, having many, many tribes in North Dakota. And the difference is that every tribe's different, of course, and their resource base is different. And, of course, out west here, the water wars and dealing with fisheries and all the habitat things that we rely on for our big game and our first foods is really critical. So we'll see how that all goes. It's going to be an interesting transition.
Secretary Holland, did the tribes benefit from her financially, like funding from the federal government?
I believe the two more significant legislation that happened during the Biden administration was, of course, the COVID monies that came out, you know, for not only us in Indian country, but also for all of us as Americans. And then the other one was the American Rescue Plan Act that helped a bunch of everyone get on their feet after COVID, after the economic downturn. And that helped us a bunch to not only buy certain things, but give it out to members, the money, and then also buy a building for commodities that we just purchased. And we have the keys to there on South 7th. So that funding that we received helped a bunch and some of the tribal member disbursement.
What about the tribal court? Did the funding come from that as well?
It did. The restoration or rehab, remodeling of the tribal court courthouse building has came from that funding.
So you could really see the benefits physically.
Yes.
The
yes.
structures that have been built. And the tribal court officially opened in October. They're going to be building more and more towards civil hearings and such, child cases. And what can we expect? There's a judge that'll be back in the seat next year.
Well, that judge will be up for election also.
Oh, and her name again is
Judge Davis, yeah. Patricia Davis.
Right.
And we hope that that our courts need to be more robust for us, that we exercise our sovereignty as a nation. As other tribes are. So we need to get our court system really where it's real active and responsive and taking care of our cases as Indian people here in the Klamath tribes.
Yeah, well, the first step was getting a court built. That was,
exactly.
And it's nice.
It is. So we're real excited about moving that forward now to exercise our sovereignty, because the court system has to... that's one of those forms of sovereignty that you need to have.
Any other issues intertribal administration or the way the tribe is run?
Well, I think the big thing that we're all having to be challenged on is there are a lot of tribes that are, of course, overlapping into other tribes' Aboriginal territory. And need to take a very strategic and smart position on that, with tribes entering into our Aboriginal territories, and push back on that, if you will.
Is there an example that you'd like to cite?
Certainly, we can use Huckleberry Mountain as one.
Who's moving in there that shouldn't be there?
Well, we've heard talk on Grand Round claiming that area and so forth, so we need to be smart about it and sit down with the Grand Rounds and talk about this and make sure that we're all tracking of where people were and where they weren't. And
that could be a gray area.
Well, it can be, but we know from our and the graphic and talking with our elders that the Klamath tribes were the ones out on Huckleberry Mountain. And then, of course, all the tribes down south, with the river being opened up, we have issues there in all of our Modoc Aboriginal territory.
How far south does that go?
All the way to Thompson. Is it Thompson Creek? I think that's what it's called down there. So it's way down south there, south and west along the river.
Was that a historically combative area because of the natural resources and the rich fishing grounds?
Well, I mean, the history has always been a certain amount of tensions between the Indian and the non-Indian, and it was no different in the Modoc lands, which eventually led to the Modoc War of 1872-1873.
Yeah.
So,
as for the Klamath River, what do you see going on for the tribes with it?
Well, there's several issues that we're working on right now. So we have our salmon coming up. and we want to get them up to our homeland here. And the two biggest impediments is the Keno Dam and the Link River Dam. We met on December 20th with representatives of the Bureau of Reclamation about the impediments because those fish ladders are not working. And we want to press issue hard with the BOR and the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife Department and Fish and Wildlife Service to get those up to date so our fish can pass freely to and from without any impediments between those two impediments. And they're knocking at the door as we speak. So we need to be as responsive and press both the federal and state governments to act.
And then there's the issue of, okay, they get over the ladder, and then they're in the toxic water of Upper Klamath Lake.
And that's what we need to work on as a tribe.
A salmon's not going to be happy when they get into that water.
Well, I mean, here again, I guess the big point is that no one else is going to do this restoration work and protect our resources. It's us. We as a tribe have to do that. We have to provide the leadership and do those kind of things to change that water quality. And the first big step that we have right now is that breach at Agency Barnes that we did on last week. So we have a lot of things to be thankful for. I misspoke. We met with the BOR on December 13th because last week, last Friday, we had the celebration there of the blessing ceremony at Agency Barnes. So sorry about that.
And that's going to be marshland. I wonder when we're going to start seeing the real ecological change for the better.
Well, you can already see the changes on the river since the dams are been removed. And if we get out of Mother Nature's processes, it's amazing how it can heal. And I really believe that the restoration work of opening up Agency Barnes and the removal of the dams, it's going to be such a change this spring to see the changes in the plant life.
And the fish.
And the fish.
It's pretty exciting times. A lot of changes, a lot of transition, a lot of work.
A lot of work.
Restoration work.
And I want to just tip my hat to all the staff that work for the Klamath Tribes because they do a lot of things. And I'm not just talking about the natural or the water or the fisheries. I'm talking about everyone from community services, social services, to housing, health. I mean, just doing a lot of people doing a lot of good things for us, and just want to have a shout out to all of them and say thank you.
Yeah, I mean, these last year and a half, even you have a new health and family health and services medical facility. You have a new courtroom. You have the commodities program. The administration building has been renovated. New auditorium is being renovated. And elders transitional housing has been incorporated into Melita's. We have an emergency shelter that we built. That's a lot that happened in a year and a half.
It is. And it's a testament to everyone that working together and pressing the issue and having the state and federal agencies come to the table for us to help our tribal members. So here again, just a lot of thanks go out from my standpoint and the Tribal Council standpoint on all the work that they've done.
Some good money coming from the state, too, courtesy of the senators working on the tribes half.
You bet. And we are pressing the governor's upcoming budget for, especially in the area of water. We got to get this water adjudicated so we can have a steady lake level.
Can that happen in the next year?
Well, it's a good start, but if you cut the funding, then, of course, that hurts because then you won't have people to do all the work for the adjudication process. It's going to be a lot longer process than a year, the adjudicating our water.
Yeah.
But you always have to have the money in order to do it.
Are we worried at all about money in 2025 with the new administration coming into the White House?
Yes, I would say so. I think we need to be smart here do everything possible to be smart about our money and our budgeting and make sure that we're going into this in a as how I would say it, just physically responsible as possible as a tribe, because there will be some cuts, I believe.
The free flow is going to start stopping.
I believe so. I believe that there's all indicators that need to look at a certain amount of percent. Who knows how that's going to adversely affect Indian country, though.
And self-sufficiency might be on the horizon for talk.
All the time. It has to be at the forefront of getting us economically self-sufficient where we can pay for all of our services ourselves.
And that requires land.
Land and smart economic development.
Do we have any land purchases in the horizon or in the future?
There's always opportunities. It's a matter of making that sure that we have, because it takes us a while to purchase a piece of property and make sure that we have the money set aside before we do anything. And having an active land acquisition program is critical as a tribal policy.
Acquiring land, developing properly, restoration.
And making sure people have places to live.
Yeah.
And here again, a lot to work on as a First Nation.
Anything you want to touch upon that we didn't talk about? Anything you want to mention to the audience?
Oh, not really. I just want to wish them the healthiest holidays going into the 2025 year. And feel free to come and see me anytime. My phone's always on. And I just look forward to keep serving you.
Klamath Tribes Chairman William Ray Jr. today on the Klamath Tribes Podcast. Thank you for joining us. I'm Ken Smith. Enjoy your holiday.